The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fidelity Bank on Business on 94.3 The Talker. I'm Patty DeCipio, your host for the next half hour for tips, tools, and savvy advice to inspire you, motivate you, and help you grow your local business. It's business advice you can bank on. Dempsey Uniform and Linen Supply Incorporated in Jessup, Pennsylvania, has been a business icon in northeastern Pennsylvania for almost 60 years. Today, we're joined by their Vice President, Kristen Dempsey O'Donnell, and among other topics today, we'll be talking with her about the Dempsey success story and the challenge many local businesses face creating and implementing a business succession plan. Also joining me is Tim O'Brien, Senior Executive Vice President and Chief Lending Officer at Fidelity Bank. Tim will be serving as my co-host and our resident banker expert with his advice and tips regarding succession planning and factors to consider when business lending risk. Tim, welcome to the show, and I'm glad you can be my helper today, or assistant, I should say.
You know, first of all, I would like to thank DC Taylor and his station 94.3 Talker to give us the opportunity to talk this afternoon. I thought a great place to start here would be for Kristen just to talk a little bit about the background of her family, the family business, and probably most importantly about herself. So Kristen, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Welcome, Kristen. We're glad we have you here today.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Tim. It is a pleasure to be here, especially since this is the 57th anniversary of Dempsey Uniform and Linen Supply.
On today.
Actually today.
How neat is that?
To talk about family business succession and is a pleasure for me. On the family side, the daughter of Pat and Karen Dempsey and the oldest of six children, five girls, one boy, all of whom still live here locally, which I am so grateful for, a lot of nieces and nephews spending time together. My brother and I are partners in the business, and the other four have successfully found careers outside of Dempsey Uniform and Linen. As I said, the company's in its 57th year now, and it was founded by Pat and Dick Dempsey. Pat is my father, and Dick, who's passed, was my uncle and his brother. And for me personally, I always knew I was going to work in the business. They have the homework assignment from 6th or 7th grade where I said I wanted to work at the Dempsey plant with my dad someday. And so much of my education, both scholastically and even in terms of work, has been driven by my father's advice and knowing that I wanted to be back here.
Wonderful. And since we've already begun the discussion, I'd like to, and Tim, you can chime in with me on this, but
sure.
You know, as a multi-generational family-owned business, you've been very successful, and that is a challenge to go from your father in the last few years has out of the day-to-day and you transition, and you did it quite smoothly and quite successfully. I'm sure there was many lessons learned along the way, but that's a journey that in our area, there are many family-owned businesses that are multi-generational, and it's not always the case. What can you advise some of our listeners on that journey?
I think unfortunately we had a family business history to look for to learn some lessons. Because as it turns out, my grandfather was in the home laundry business with his brothers. And that family succession planning did not go so well. Mm. And at one point there ended up being three Dempsey laundries in Dunmore competitive with each other. So I'm very grateful to my father and uncle when they started the business rental side of the business in 1959, that they took an approach a little bit more systematically in terms of trying to make sure that the family was going to survive through the business and the transition to the next generation. So for us, the founders being Pat and Dick, you know, the first decision we had to make was, you know, children coming into the business there. Mm-hmm. My uncle had children involved at time, and my dad, of course, did. And then the second big decision was once PJ and I were involved with my dad, then transitioning the business from him to us. So we've really, personally, for Dempsey Uniform and Linen, had two successful transitions already. And if I were going to share anything, not that it hasn't been a bumpy road, but the sooner that process starts, the better. because it's a little bit like policymaking in your company. You really want to be able to set the policies and guidelines before you actually face the emotional decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're looking at it at a time when all heads are on and clear and you're talking about what would be the ideal scenario for transitioning a business over, it's much easier to lay that groundwork than when there is a death in the family or somebody is looking to retire or somebody wants to come back in, and now you're trying to make those decisions when there are both emotions and personalities involved.
Oh, absolutely. And I would think as well, Tim, as a business banker, this is something that just in a business that is looking at a long-term loan or obtaining credit to, you know, manage their business, when you're making those kind of decisions in the boardroom about what kind of the future of this business and making that decision, I'm sure a succession plan and these things weigh heavily in that.
So I would just go back to what Christian said, which I think is so important. We at Fidelity Bank, who pride ourselves of being a community bank, very much involved in financial advice and helping the business owner. It's dealing literally with thousands of people over the years and thousands of business. You realize the importance of planning. And as you said, and it's right on, planning when it's not an emergency,
right,
when it's clear-headed, and you can find out where you are today and where you want to be in the future, and the transition not make it as least bumpy as possible. It is absolutely so true. So that's great advice to the listeners. Just going back a little bit, and it may embarrass you a little bit, but would you mind just going back to your business and talking a little bit about your business, a little bit about the history, and then maybe where you're at today and where you think you might want to be tomorrow?
Sure.
Because you are, from what I'm seeing, third or maybe almost the fourth generation.
Yes.
So where's the fifth and sixth generation?
That's right. Well, we call ourselves, we would look like the second generation within Dempsey Uniform and Linen, but PJ always, and I always consider ourselves the second and a half because of the family history, at least on the laundry side. So Dempsey started in 1959, my dad and my uncle. My dad ran the plant. My uncle was the sales and marketing side. In a leap of faith that I give so much credit to, because I'm the second generation, recognizing that the real entrepreneurs, those people who start a business for the first time, my dad and my uncle, actually I have a sister who's done the same, they deserve so much respect for the risk they take. To start something out of nothing. And, you know, they started with no accounts and a loan from my grandfather who said, if you pay it back, maybe I'll leave you something when I die. If not, that was your inheritance.
Right? It's a great story.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had always, like every child of a family business, you know, you work there in the summers, you work there when you're back on school breaks. And then after high school, I went to Princeton, and my father had suggested studying engineering because a plant would always be involved in running a laundry. And so I did that. And then as we came back, as I was coming back to the business, we had just acquired for the first time in 93 a second location down in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. And I'm 22, 23 years old at the time, and they sent me down to what they said was hold down the fort until we hired somebody to manage that, because we didn't have a manager from Dunmore who could go down there. And 5 years later, they finally hired somebody to replace me. And in what was probably the best opportunity I ever could have had, I got to run this very small plant without being under the eye of these great tenured people back in our Jessup facility.
Wow.
And then since then, we've grown to have locations in Sunbury, Harrisburg, Allentown, and Baltimore, D.C.
So sort of in a summary form, going back to the major topic here, because of the financial planning of your dad and your uncle, and where you're still financial planning, you as a graduate of one of the top schools in the country could come back to northeastern Pennsylvania, be employed at the level that you needed to be employed at.
Right.
And it's a great opportunity for both you and your brother.
I am grateful. I think PJ and I both recognize that it's only the seeds of the business that my father and my uncle had developed that gave us the chance with these great educations to make a living here in Scranton and grow something we're really proud of.
Not to say the least of which is all the employees that are here.
That's
because
right.
of everybody's planning.
That's right. And boy, what a great team we have here. In fact, our workforce here in Northeastern PA is so strong that much of our growth has been through additions onto our current facility and distributing the textile rental items, the uniforms, the floor mats, the table linens to markets as far as Washington, D.C., with local delivery personnel and service managers, but with production people that are back here.
Fantastic. Well, at this point, I'm going to stop us and we're going to take a quick break for our big idea. And when we come back, we're going to get a little deeper into the succession plan and also some of the great accomplishments that you've had with Dempsey and personally. Okay. We'll be right back after the big idea. This week's big idea comes from Forbes.com. 6 tips for managing people who are hard to manage by Victor Lipman, contributor. Number 1, accept that management is complex and difficult. Frustrations and difficult situations go with the territory of management. Approach delicate employees' issues positively like an intriguing puzzle to solve. Number 2, don't avoid or bulldoze conflict. Deal with it directly and even-handedly. The best managers aren't conflict avoiders, neither do they pull rank or roll right over others when conflicts occur. Seek fair, constructive resolutions, not simply getting your way. Number 3, try to see things through the eyes of others. Look at a problematic situation holistically. Gain insights on why a certain person acts a certain way or is hard to manage. This can lead to constructive solutions. Number 4, get help. Gain perspective on difficult employees from someone whose judgment you trust. This could be anyone, human resource contact, mentor, your own manager, or colleague. Number 5, set clear, measurable job objectives. This makes expectations a matter of fact, not debate, whether or not the employee has reached their performance targets. Number 6, think in terms of assets and liabilities. Do the benefits the employee brings to the company far outweigh the problems they create? Consider those issues. So with a calm and thoughtful approach, you can manage the challenge of managing a challenging employee. That's this week's big idea. Welcome back to Fidelity Bank on Business on 94.3 The Talker. I'm Patty Disip, your host. Today, I am joined by Kristen Dempsey, Dempsey Uniform and Linen and Uniform Supply Incorporated in Jessup, as well as Tim O'Brien from Fidelity Bank. And we've been discussing multi-generational family businesses, succession plans, the challenges, and, well, in this case, the successes in doing so. So just before the break, we were discussing that there's two sides to really the succession plan to be aware of. There's the emotional side as a family. How do we do this? Who does what? How does it happen? Who's going to be joining, leaving, coming, going? What's the plans for the future? That's a big, important discussion to have. Then there's the financial that needs to be. And Tim, I'd like to have you weigh in on that a little bit, too, on, you know, why that's important in risk management when, you know, if a business is looking for, you know, obtaining credit. And then also some of the other things to consider of the assets outside of just the business. That okay. So that's a lot to cover. And so let's begin with you, Tim.
So succession planning, stated another way, is survival planning. Mm-hmm. It truly is survival.
Yes, it is.
It's survival for a lot of different people. So maybe the best place to start here is, Christian, maybe you could talk from point of view of the business planning and the strategies you implemented and how you implemented so your business has the most opportunity to be successful and thrive.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. And as you said, Patty, there's really that those two sides. There's the family side of, you know, how partnerships are going to be dealt with as you go forward and what conditions under which children come in and get stock. And Wilkes University has a wonderful family business program that's been a great resource to my family and to many other local family businesses in the area. And then the second side of it is once you have the emotional side addressed, is taking care of the financial side of your company. And a lot of that has to do with the banking relationships that you're going to have. There's going to be times as you look to do expansions to your business that it's now going to be time for the second generation to put their name on those bank loans and to be those guarantors. And so having the family business side of that established makes it a lot easier to have the next generation committed to the bank on those loans and be able to get the money you need for growth even easier.
And also prep them with the tools they'll need at that point, because, you know, that whatever it is, you know, whatever assets in real estate and things that all come into play.
That's when right.
That's a very important part, is to know where do they stand and make sure that you have them prepared and have their homework ready.
Getting into. That's right. And then you look at on the business planning side, Tim, you know, when you have so many of your assets in that company, which most family businesses do, and you have partnerships in there with either brothers and sisters or fathers and sons and daughters, what happens when one of those people dies? You know, what are you going to face with in terms of estate taxes? And the death of that person is not the time to be dealing with those things. Not only is it emotional, but it may also lead to the loss of your family business and paying the taxes. And yet there's financial planning that can put you in a much better position to handle those transitions, those financial transitions, to keep the business running and to keep your family solvent.
That's I'd like to just give a plug there to Fidelity Bank. You have one of the best trust departments in the area as far as succession, all different types of opportunities to plan for that, as well as your investment department of Bill McAndrew, Fidelity Asset Management. Could you just give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. Being in the business I am, which I like to consider trying to be the trusted financial advisor, and I sometimes don't like to admit, but I've been in this business for 40 plus years, probably more than both of you folks have been alive. But putting that
well,
aside.
Well, thank you. That's right. Not necessarily true.
Putting that all aside, what Christian has said is so important. We come across the businesses every day where lack of financial planning makes it really, really a nightmare for survival and family squabbles, and the business is diverted from what they do best, which is operating a business and being successful. So one of the things that I have learned that is very important is to deal with a financial advisor that has the people, the tools, and the skills to provide expertise in part of the overall strategy for financial planning. So from a commercial point of view of Fidelity Bank, we're a community bank that's located in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. We have offices in Luzerne and Lackawanna County. We have a phenomenal team, and we meet with clients on a regular basis or prospects, and we have expertise in financial planning. We have expertise in loan structuring. We have expertise in wealth management. We have expertise in various types of different industries providing financial services. We have recently acquired some additional expertise as it relates to cash flow management. Mm-hmm. And we truly have the whole ball of wax. In addition to that, when we go out with meet with our customers, more often than not, our CFO and president, Dan Santanello, joins us in the meeting. And frankly, that is one of the things of a community bank that just doesn't occur at the banks in the area. I don't even consider them competition sometimes, but the other banks in the area, it just does not happen.
And that really is the niche of...
It is our niche.
It is the niche of a community bank, is that it helps the local communities to thrive and prosper. It's the bank local, buy local, eat local, shop local. Because that's what makes, you know, this area strong and committed. And we were just talking about your business, and it's the same thing. It is locally owned and operated, even though you do distribute to other areas. Your employees from, you've won several SAGE awards for your best places to work, and just the ethics of being true to where you've come from and to supporting the economy and the workforce here. So let's kind of change gears a little bit and just talk about that.
Sure. I think that's one of the things that I think is most valuable for a local family business to realize, is that they have an opportunity to really market themselves as very different from much of what's out there these days in terms of national chains. From the marketing side, if you're looking for a little bit of the secret sauce here, you know, Dempsey very much recognizes that much of our competition for the uniform and linen and floor mat rentals to other businesses is from national companies, a Cintas, an Aramark, a UniFirst, which are nationwide. And for us, we try to gather all of those together from a marketing perspective and allow the customer to see that it's not you versus five other companies. If you're the restaurant, it's not you versus the Olive Garden and the Longhorn and the Red Lobster. Position yourself as you, as that local independent restaurant, versus all the other chains. They're really all the same thing together. And so for us, we really appreciate the local businesses that see us as their local choice and realize how different we are from all the other national competitors together.
I think you would agree, and Tim, you would as well. It's that business business model based on relationship and value-added service and customer-centric, being customer-centric. And it's seeing that it is that you have that contact that's very close and very personal and very specific to your needs. Mm-hmm. And I think you both would agree with that, wouldn't you? Tim, would you?
The agility of a regional or small, even smaller, even just community-based business is so very important in serving a customer versus dealing with a national company
right. That
takes time to react.
Yes.
And what is sort of interesting, and again, the financial planning is so important, that, you know, with your company, and I know with our bank, literally you can make a decision in a matter of half an hour or less. Whereas if you're with a larger organization or somebody that's nationally, that's not personally, intimately involved, a decision may not even occur, let alone within an hour. And again, I say the importance of this, unless you have the financial planning to allow this to happen for future generations, and also to get the wealth from what you have worked on for your whole life, it makes it very, very difficult.
Absolutely. I was at a program that was put on by the Wilkes University Family Business Program, and they very objectively had looked at this big research study on why family businesses were so successful over time, as compared to, again, say a national chain or a publicly traded company. And they said the two elements that really allowed them to have success long term was, number one, they tend to look not as a national company might about what's the biggest possible gain we could get out of this next step. The family business always looked at what's the worst case scenario and how do we mitigate that?
Great point.
And then the second one was having a very long-term vision on their decision-making. So on that first one, Tim, when they talk about that worst-case scenario and that the family business has, you talked about that personal relationship with your local banker. And I think that that's what a family business recognizes, because it does not matter how sound their business is financially, they still cannot help in the back of their mind thinking, but what if? You know, what if we had a bump in the road? You know, what if it's not always so perfect? Who do we want to be our financial partner there in that situation? And that's where I think the comfort comes from, the local banking side.
And that's a valid point, because the thing is, you're looking at multi-generations. Sure, you're looking at your next generation. How are they going to be able to handle this? So you have to have that constant devil's advocate looking out for what if this could happen. And the same thing with banking. You're looking out for the best scenario for your customer.
Yep.
And again, with the customers that you work with, Kristen, again, you can understand a restaurant that's having some issues
We're going to help them get through those bumps in the road.
Because it's a relationship, and it's relationship built.
And I think the other thing that family businesses have the opportunity to realize that they have a great strength on is that other result from the study, which is they can have a longer term perspective than a national competitor. And for us, they're publicly traded companies who might have a much shorter term mm-hmm. view. And so when they're making decisions, like say, for example, in our industry, one of the greatest challenges for customer service is making sure that all the uniforms that somebody turns in each week to get cleaned, that the five uniforms he turns in comes right back to that person the next week. And so for us, we answered that challenge with a huge financial investment in RFID chips that we put into all of the uniforms, and then a very expensive capital expenditure on automatic sortation that almost guarantees that they're going to get all of those back. Now, we actually have that system in there, and our national competitors do not. And that's because they can't see the return on investment, the labor savings coming in 24 months, so they won't do it. For us, we're a family business. We can look at a longer term return on that investment, And moreover, we can value the higher level of customer service. It doesn't always have a number on the bottom line, does it? But we know if that's a challenge for the industry and we can do it better, that will allow us to retain customers more for the long term.
I'm going to stop you right there. This is a great conversation. And when we come back, I'd like to delve into this just a little bit more and a little bit more about you, Kristen. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
What could you do with $300? It's summer and the possibilities are endless. Join Fidelity Bank today and you could earn $300. That's $300 for vacation, summer projects, whatever you like. See what banking at the area's best bank is all about. For a limited time at Fidelity Bank, you can earn $200 when you open a new checking account with direct deposit, enroll in Easy Statements, and make just 5 transactions per month with your Fidelity Visa check card. Then earn an additional $100 bonus when you deposit $10,000 or more into a new savings account. That's a total of $300. $300 to use any way you like, and all just for beginning a relationship with Fidelity Bank. They've been voted best bank for 3 years in a row by the readers of the Scranton Times, and they pride themselves on customer service that can't be beat. Certain restrictions apply. Please contact Fidelity Bank for specific details. 3 easy ways to apply. Go online at bank@fidelity.com, call 1-800-388-4380, or visit any branch office. Fidelity Bank is a member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Fidelity Bank on Business on 94.3 The Talker. I'm Patty DeCipio, and I'm here with Kristen Dempsey and Tim O'Brien. We've been talking about business succession, about the future generation taking over the business and how the being ready to go, being planned and set. So what I wanted to focus on now, Kristen, is, you know, when you do take over in the succession, is there catching up to do? Is there technology you have to look at? You know, moving forward, you own it now. You need to put your mark on to make it continue success that's been laid out for you. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think, PJ and I had been given an incredible opportunity, and I give ourselves some credit for valuing what my father had done so well. Very conservative financial planning, value for the employees, never a layoff, always full benefits plans. We took that and maintained it. And then as we came in, we realized, hey, the previous generation, there's a couple things as they slowed down that we have to catch up on. And then we realized our job was to take it to the next step in terms of expanding the facilities. My dad and uncle hadn't wanted to travel at the end of their very active years. PJ and I were ready to get involved and spend time living in Sunbury, spend time living in Harrisburg, you know, spend time driving at least to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And so I think the next generation does have to look and say, we want to value what we had before, and now what are we going to invest in this to make the company competitive through the next generation for our children?
And that could be technology. It could be, even in a smaller business, I'm sure you see this with some of the restaurants, it could be as simple as, you know, having a website or getting the new meat cutter that you kind of didn't bother to do.
That's right. And I think that's something like your financial advisor can give you insight into, is making sure that you have that account, that you have those savings to continuously reinvest in your business, whether it is $1 million washing machine in my case, or whether it's in a new deli case. You have to be able to keep up with your competition so that you don't end up so far behind that you can't keep up anymore.
And obviously would lose your competitive edge. And you are one person who has not lost their competitive edge at all. And I thank you so much for being with us today. Could you give us a plug real quickly just for how someone could get in touch with Dempsey?
Yes, our easiest way is through our website, www.dempseyuniform.com.
Fantastic. And thank you, Tim O'Brien, for being with us today. You've been a great helper and host, and it's really all we have time for today. I want to thank you both for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. We look forward to being with all of you again next week. Meanwhile, you can join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. You can also contact us at bank@fidelity.com and listen to our podcast from our show link right on our homepage. Click the show icon on our homepage, choose a show, click to download, and you can listen anytime, anywhere. Thank you so much and have a great week.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which products and services may be appropriate for you, consultation with your banker, attorney, accountant, and financial advisor is recommended. Significant conditions may apply to certain accounts. Fidelity Bank is a member of FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Join us for Fidelity Bank on Business, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 94.3 The Talker. Fidelity Bank is your trusted source for financial solutions for local businesses. Our experts offer you tips and tools to help your business grow. Hear local success stories that can provide you inspiration and ideas. Business advice you can bank on. Fidelity Bank on Business, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 94.3 The Talker.